Big show for you here today. It's the People's Panic Meter with Dalton Del Don, the Coping Corner, all the things you love here on Tuesday. Before we do that, we recap a Monday Night Football game. Dolphins-Rams, some concerning play from the LA Rams out of this one, and some interesting signs, albeit not perfect signs, from the Miami Dolphins. Later, we address the Coping Corner. We talk about the players you should be panicking about. Time to throw the Bears in the Coping Corner. Rookie wide receivers we're a little concerned about at this point. All that and more coming up on today's show. Let's get into it. It's Tuesday, November 12th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast presented by Spectrum. And it is a hell of a day to talk ball. Before we dive into the People's Panic Meter, the people you need to target off the waiver wire, the Coping Corner, all of the things we usually do here on Tuesday with Dalton Del Don, we'll get to that. But before we do, let's do a little Monday Night Football recap. We've got Dolphins 23, Rams 15. Another kind of, I would say, sloppy and at times frustrating primetime game. Not totally. It felt at times like it was going to go the direction of Lions-Texans like we got on Sunday Night Football, but we didn't quite get to 7 combined interceptions, just 2 interceptions by the 2 quarterbacks. But we'll get into each side here. Let's start on the Dolphins side of things. Definitely still not a perfect offensive outing for the Miami Dolphins. You know, 207 yards passing for Tua, 3.1 yards per carry for Devon Achane, who continues to have a real stranglehold on this backfield. 12 carries for him. Second is Jalen Wright with 5 carries for 3 yards. So Achane continues to be the clear-cut running back one in this backfield. You know, Raheem Mostert has 2 catches for 34 yards, primarily on that 25-yarder near the end of the game to move the chains. Achane really saves any sort of fantasy floor here in any reception-based format with 5 for 5 through the air. But that's the big takeaway here, is that he continues to be the running back one in the ground game, which was not successful against this Rams defense. I should note here that this Rams defense, I think it still gets talked about in fantasy circles as kind of a pushover matchup. And when you have time, when you can get over on the front, there are spots in the secondary to pick. There's no question about that. However, I do think we need to kind of have a little bit of a, I'm not going to call it a full come to Jesus moment about this Rams defense, but we do need to adjust expectations here, because that front absolutely kicks ass. Like, you know, there were jokes in the offseason about, hey, we're going to try, we can't recreate Aaron Donald. We're going to try to recreate him in the aggregate. I'm not even going to say that they pulled that off by any means, because Aaron Donald's one of the best football players I've ever seen in my lifetime. But they've certainly got a pretty good thing going there with Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, obviously the two rookies at the draft of this year. Kobe Turner was a nightmare in this game. Byron Young has been very, very good this year. Young, Turner, and Verse all had sacks in this game. 3 of Tua. The forced fumble came, you know, pass defense by Kobe Turner as well. This is a really, really tough to deal with Rams front on defense. And, you know, a few weeks ago in the Fantasy Film Room, we talked about midseason trends, and mine was, if you have great pass concepts, you have great talented pass catchers, that's nice. Doesn't mean anything if you can't block it up. And I kind of think that the Dolphins are that team in a nutshell. They've always struggled on the offensive line. I think that is where most of the issues on offense can be blamed this year, is on that offensive line. They struggled to protect Tua, and I will give Tua a lot of credit in this game. He is not usually an out of structure player. He's certainly definitely the least explosive athlete that the Dolphins have on offense, but he went into creation mode and got out of the pocket several times late in the game on critical downs and distances. This was a big time third down game for the Miami Dolphins. 6 of 13 on third down compared to 3 of 12 for the Rams. That was really the story of this game, was it was the performance of third down, the third down offense there for the Miami Dolphins. Specifically, like I said, Tua getting out of trouble late in the game after being harassed early on in the contest. I thought it was an overall pretty decent game from Tua in that regard, although the fantasy stats are not going to be here really for anybody. Let's talk about the pass catchers here real quick. One thing to note, you know, Jalen Waddle gets 55 yards on the first drive. ends the game with 57. So kind of continues to have that frustrating season that he's been having all year long. Really just this team used to be super condensed between Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and it's not that way anymore. We've got 9 players get a target here from Tua in this game. That's different. And it's kind of been trending that way for a minute here. And I'm not, you know, it's always tough because we want to funnel the targets to the good players. We want to get those guys going. Totally understand that. The thing is, though, I'm not so sure this is a bad thing for the Dolphins offense, which admittedly, maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, has not fired on all cylinders yet this year. Maybe they do just need to cut out some of the fat, get back to basics here. I think they definitely abandoned the run game too often tonight. But the Jonnu Smith plays work. He's a yards after catch monster. He was incredibly effective from a yards after catch perspective in this game. He has been all year long. In this game in particular, 12 yards after the catch per reception, 4 air yards per target. He's been a pretty solid chain mover for this team in that regard. He continues to have a big role there. The running backs are involved in the passing game. That's been a thing. And then don't look now, but Odell Beckham runs a route on over 40% of the dropbacks. Only 2 catches. He's never going to be a fantasy factor, but a couple of pretty big catches for Beckham. And my guy, one of my favorite sleepers in the NFL draft, Malik Washington, played more snaps than Beckham, but ran fewer routes because he was involved as sort of eye candy in the run game. He also had a carry for 18 yards and scored the first touchdown of the game. Washington also had a pretty critical 17-yard reception. Like I said, not a fantasy factor, but I think Washington could play. I'd love to see more and more of Malik Washington in this offense because he's such a good fit. And man, again, he was one of my favorite receiver sleepers in the draft. A guy that was a stud in reception perception and someone I think could be a pretty big help to this offense. So the Dolphins offense seems to be spreading it out. I'm not so sure that's a bad thing. Upcoming schedule for the Dolphins. They get the Raiders and the Patriots the next 2 games. If we continue to see this kind of sputtering mid-level Miami Dolphins offense with Tua back, with all these weapons kind of getting rolling here, even if Tyreek Hill's not 100%, even if Jaylen Waddle's not fully integrated like we're used to seeing, then I'm worried about this offense if we don't kind of see them take over those 2 games. So we'll put a pin in that, and we'll continue to track this Dolphins offense. On the other side of things here, the LA Rams, it's a really frustrating game for the Rams altogether, and one that, you know, the Joe Buck and Troy Aikman kind of talked about it as one they might look back on and really regret, because at this point, the Rams are 4-5. They're 3rd in the NFC West. Their season was already in a tough spot. They were going to have to be near perfect once they got these receivers back and the offense sort of started clicking against the Vikings. And then obviously the Seahawks last week, they're going to need to be perfect down the stretch to make up ground. And losing this game to the Dolphins at home in a game where your defense played really well, not a good look for the offense. I'm not at, like, you know, I hate this stuff. Like, we need to have a conversation about Matthew Stafford, but I don't think Stafford has played particularly well in several games this year, even if the situation is tough. And this game in particular, yeah, the Rams got back a bunch of guys on the offensive line, and some of those guys didn't necessarily play great. You know, Jonah Jackson, Steve Avila got a little dinged up later in the game too. They got some of these guys back on the offensive line. I wouldn't say the offensive line was perfect in this game, but I also think Stafford has invited pressure at times this year. He took 4 sacks, lost 36 yards on those sacks. That's not typically what Stafford does. That is something to track here, just Stafford's overall performance. Like I said, this is the Dolphins' defense is pretty good. They're a really good secondary. Their pass rush definitely came alive in this game. No question about that. But I was a little bit disturbed with Stafford's play in this one. I don't want to overreact to a 1-game sample or anything, but this has been kind of a take I've been sitting on for a minute now, is that, you know, Stafford is a guy that I think has taken a little bit slight step back. Still can be masterful when he's on. You know, he's clicking. Obviously, there's few guys that could do it better. But at the same time, I think we've seen a small step back from Stafford this year, where he's really not going to be able to stand in against pressure at this point. That was certainly the case in this one. Tough decision by Sean McVay to kick a field goal when he's that close to the end zone late in the game. And I'm not talking about the last one. I'm talking about the one before the last one. I mean, there were friggin' how many field goals did Josh Cardi kick in this game? The second to last one with 6 minutes and 34 seconds on the clock at the 4-yard line. I mean, come on, Sean. Like, it's just exhausting with this Shanahan tree sometimes and the conservative nature here. Like, Hayden Winks from Underdog, I saw a tweet out, like, play Madden one time. these Shanahan coaches. It's exhausting talking about it all the time, but I don't understand it. It's just the fear-based coaching never makes any sense when your offense is as good as it is at the height of its powers. You know, you have a really efficient running back in Kyren Williams who makes the best out of small spaces. You don't want to hammer him in from the 4-yard line. You have all these receiver options. You don't want to spread things out and try to dictate matchups. Yeah, tough. Everybody that you wanted to hit in fantasy hit on the Rams for the most part. Puka, 9 for 98. Cooper Kupp, 7 for 80. He caught all 7 of his targets. Davis Allen looks like he's making headways as the starting tight end. We'll see what happens if Tyler Higbee can come back this year, but Allen is an interesting guy to keep a track of. And Kyren Williams lost a fumble but did catch 5 for 20, so he's got one of the best floors at the running back position in fantasy. But a pretty frustrating day at the office for the Rams overall. Constantly, you know, settling for field goals, taking bad sacks, missed throws by Matthew Stafford. Not great. The Rams get the Patriots next, so that's a nice bounce back spot for them, although it's a trip to New England, so we'll see about that. Then they get the Eagles, the Saints, the Bills, the Niners, so they got to start stacking more wins if they want to get into the playoff mix. But yeah, like I said, a little like eye raise at the Stafford stuff right now, but that's kind of my only big takeaway from this game. Otherwise, it's kind of business as expected from a playing time standpoint with the LA Rams. All right, with that, let's start to the rest of the show with Dalton Del Don and the People's Panic Meter. Let's get into it. Joining us now, as he always does here on Tuesday, is the man himself, my good buddy Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, man?
Not much, Harmon. Not much to complain about. Niners won. Really good, really strong Penguin finale. Recommend that show. But low scoring week in NFL. Yeah, very down scoring. Wasn't great for a lot of our fantasy teams or DFS. So hopefully there'll be more scoring output coming this week. How are you doing, dude?
I'm doing good. All the scoring happened on Thursday. We forgot about that. All the points happened on Thursday Night Football. There was none left over for Sunday. So that's really what happened here. But things are good. I think we're at a point in the NFL season where we're starting to tick off some teams. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not getting a lot of fantasy juice out of this squad anymore. This team's starting to look towards 2025, which is very adjacent to what we do on this program, Dalton. I will say the coping corner is already pretty packed. I feel like we're going to get a lot of new members to the coping corner this week. And based on last week of football, I hope we're not overreacting, because like you said, there were some really rough performances. And sometimes, Dalton, you see games on Sunday, you're kind of in the thick of it and all that. You go back on Monday, you get in the lab, you look at the data, you watch the film back, and it's going to be a little bit better. I will say, doing a lot of review here this morning, things are not looking better for some of these teams.
No, not a lot of hope. Yeah, I mean, there's lost seasons in the Jets, the Cowboys. It's gone south. How many is it, like a record for teams with this many teams with just 2 wins or something at this point of the year? There are a lot of teams that are looking already to next season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it is a record or anything like that, but there are 11 teams right now with 3 or fewer wins. The Jaguars, the Giants, the Titans, the Browns, the Raiders, the Dolphins, obviously Dolphins could change based on Monday Night Football. Doubt it, but I'd love to make myself look like an idiot by saying that. The Patriots, the Jets, the Saints, the Panthers, and the Cowboys. And I feel like I could probably point to maybe 1-2 of those teams where the vibes might get better over the next few weeks. Like, I think if the Panthers keep it up with some of these younger guys, maybe the vibes could get better there for them. The Patriots, if Drake May continues to look good and they win a couple surprising games, I feel like the vibes could look better. Definitely the Dolphins, like I mentioned, if they stack a few wins here and, you know, Tua looks good or all that type of stuff, they maybe the vibes can get better. But I feel like almost all of those teams, though, the vast majority, I feel like things could get worse around that building before they get a lot better.
Yeah, is Trevor Lawrence going to play again? It looks like a lot of teams and their fan bases are already looking toward draft picks. You know, are you turning to rooting for your teams to even win at this point? Because, yeah, a lot of these teams are already have lost hope for 2024.
Yeah, producer Colin and I, shockingly, were talking about the Cowboys last night during the Sunday night game. And he's like, I mean, a lot of the fans in Dallas want a top 10 pick. That's all they want now at this point. I was like, oh, you guys You get a top 10 pick, don't worry. And then I looked at the standings. I'm like, oh, you know what? Actually, right now they'd be picking 11th in the draft if the draft happened today. And they're terrible. And they're not, they're a joke of a franchise right now. They're literally the joke of the internet with Sungate. Andy, our colleague Andy Barron said there's no better rivalry in the NFL right now than the Cowboys and celestial bodies. Like, that's what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys, and they're not even slated to have a top 10 pick. So that's the state of football right now, that's for sure. All right, let's waste no more time. Let's get into our business at hand here for the show. Before we get into the people's panic meter coming out of week 10, let's address the coping corner, Dalton Del Don. Let's do a little check-in on the coping corner. For people who aren't familiar, the coping corner is simply, we're beyond panic with these players. We're in kind of it is what it is territory, and we don't talk about them. That, by the way, when I send out the submission every single week, and you know, God forbid we get emails about players that are in the coping corner, you send in somebody that's in the coping corner like, oh man, I'm panicked about Javonte Williams. Why don't you just hurt my feelings and tell me you don't listen to the podcast? That would be more efficient than doing it that way, because the whole point of the coping corner is we don't talk. We're not panicking about these players. It's basically over for them. These are the players that are in the coping corner right now. Keenan Allen, Calvin Ridley, Patrick Mahomes, Sam Laporta, Javonte Williams, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Jalen Waddle, Dallas Cowboys, the entire Cowboys operation. We put them in the coping corner. So yeah, all the CeeDee Lamb submissions we got, thanks a lot. Covered it already. He's in the coping corner. Deal with it. I'd say the only one, Dalton, that I think we need to have a conversation about is one that you've been trying to get me to have a conversation about for a minute, which is Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, in three games since DeAndre Hopkins was traded, Ridley has averaged a 34% target share, which would rank first among wide receivers, or very close. 100 receiving yards, which would rank second, and 20.4 fantasy points, which would rank third. And here's the thing. According to JJ's adjusted fantasy points allowed, the Titans have had only one matchup this season against a team that ranks as a top 15 favorable matchup for quarterbacks. And moving forward, Ridley's schedule looks awesome against schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to outside receivers, 5th most, 6th most, 17th most, and then the fantasy playoffs, the 12th most, 13th most, and the most. He gets a matchup against Jacksonville. So he had a horrible schedule before in DeAndre Hopkins. Now he has neither moving forward. And encouragingly, Will Levis. He produced with Will Levis. That was the other wild card we were unsure of. And so I think Ridley's not only should be removed from the coping corner, but how high should we rank him moving forward, Harmon?
Yeah, he's wide receiver 24 right now on the season, which it actually is outpacing his ADP. It's just funny how fantasy works, right? It's a good question in terms of how where he'd rank rest of season, but I definitely think he's in that wide receiver 2 range. Would I be surprised if he has some kind of, you know, like a bust game at some point? Probably not, just because that's how the position works. That wouldn't be surprising to me, even in a good matchup. Like, could Calvin Ridley, because he's been kind of an up-and-down player, and because obviously his quarterback is Will Levis or Mason Rudolph again at some point. Although I'll give Will Levis credit. Among the quarterbacks who played on Sunday, Dalton, he had the highest passer rating, 127.4. Passer rating's not a perfect stat. He lost that game. The Titans lost that game. He took a bunch of sacks in that game as well. But still, I mean, got to tip your cap to Will Levis, who normally can't do anything right from a passing perspective. That was an encouraging development for Calvin Ridley. So I'm okay with taking him out of the coping corner for sure. And I do think that he is probably in that big range of wide receiver twos that you're probably wanting to start, you know, but could hurt you in any given week as well.
Yeah, Levis played his best game of the season. Great point there, Harmon. His CPOE was like plus 11. First game all season, he didn't throw an interception. It was against the Chargers defense, who's allowing like the fewest points per game in the last 20 years. So encouraging there. And can't blame us for having Ridley. Things have changed. No. You know, I mean, yeah. Hopkins was traded. Yeah, that's a big part of this issue here. But looking at his volume, there's just no way we can deny it at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Things have changed for Calvin Ridley, so you're no longer coping. And yeah, look, if he drops a dud at some point after he's out of the coping corner, we can revisit the case for what's happening with Calvin Ridley or something like that. But for now, I do think he's no longer a member of the coping corner. And yeah, I think we might take a look at some of these other players at some point. You know, Stroud when Nico gets back. Obviously, Jalen Waddle. We haven't, as of the time we're taping this, we haven't seen Monday Night Football. So, you know, again, there are other players to consider. But for now, Calvin Ridley is our one player I think that we take out. So with that, let's fire up the post week 10 People's Panic Meter.
Would you say it's time for everyone to panic?
Yes, I would, Kent.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening!
No! Wait!
Everybody stay calm! What's the procedure? Stay calm!
Reminder for how this works. 4 categories. No panic, some panic, total panic, and Coping Corner. I have a feeling we will add some more names to the Coping Corner, like I mentioned at the top, starting potentially with this team that we're going to discuss next. Brent N. sent in via email. Of course, you all can submit to fantasymailbag@yahoosports.com every single week. Submit your panic, the players you need to consider for the people's panic meter. We got some good emails this week. Got them in late. Appreciate the hell out of that, but we have some really good ones here, starting with this one from Brent N., who wants to talk about the Chicago Bears. That was the title of the email, but also wants to give me shit, which is totally okay, by the way. So Brent writes, explain to me how the head coach and offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears have a job next week. It doesn't seem like either know what they're doing. On a positive note, you have to take back the criticism that, and this is directed at me, I suppose, against Bo Nix. He looks to be the second best quarterback in the past draft. Even though I think Sean Payton is an egomaniacal, pompous ass, Nix and Payton seem to be on the same page. And then goes on to talk about the Dallas Cowboys as their own reality show, which I totally think is warranted. Finishes it up with, thank you for everything you do, brother. Really appreciate the content. Thanks, Brent. We appreciate the hell out of you, Brent. Thank you for writing in. Before we talk about the Bears, let's talk Bo Nix here real quick, Dalton. I don't know that I was super harsh on Bo Nix, but I definitely would admit that he has exceeded my expectations so far this year. Certainly last week, too, against the Chiefs, that was probably his best passing performance. You know, typically we think of him as a fantasy quarterback who's going to get it done with his legs here as a rookie. Hit negative rushing yards against the Chiefs and still had a pretty decent passing performance. So I don't know that he's going to end up being the second best quarterback in this past draft. I'm still not quite sure what Bo Nix's ceiling is, but I will give him credit that he has absolutely developed from the player that we saw in September in a situation that is still not great. So yeah, Bo Nix definitely deserves the credit. If I was hard on Bo Nix, I apologize and I take it back.
Nix had 160 yards, 8.0 YPA, and two touchdowns at halftime this past week. Steve Spagnuolo's defense definitely stiffened afterward, but impressive. Nix's CPOE was plus 14.1% in the 93rd percentile. And he runs for fantasy too, and a much easier schedule coming up after having to face, you know, a couple of stiffer defenses, although obviously the Ravens are actually pretty friendly for fantasy. Encouraging in a tough matchup, and Nix looks better than expected for you know what we thought coming out as a rookie. And fantasy-wise, the fact he runs, he's on the radar, man. Just play the matchups.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, again, if I need to take back some Bo Nix slander, I take it back. We'll see where he ends up from a ceiling perspective. But let's get back to the Bears, the actual subject of Brent's email here. I'm not going to read off the ADP and the rankings for the Bears because guess what? It stinks. Almost everybody except DeAndre Swift is underperforming their summer ADP. Keenan Allen's already a member of the Coping Corner, Dalton, but is it time to place the entire Bears offense into the Coping Corner, or maybe perhaps the passing game? Because I tell you what, buddy, I cannot script a more disappointing like return off of a bye for a very young team here with a rookie quarterback. Typically we think, okay, post bye rookie bump, these guys are going to go up. Everything is trended down in Chicago. And I don't really see a lot of paths forward here. You know, Matt Eberflus gave, again, I'll credit Andy on this. Andy was out there tweeting about just what a discouraging press conference, I guess, Matt Eberflus gave. I just read some of the quotes on it. Basically, it sounds like they're evaluating everything and they're looking at everything. I think we should be looking at Matt Eberflus as well. But I don't know that a coaching change is coming soon. Maybe we will be breaking down a play caller change later on in the week on this podcast. But for now, I don't know, man. I don't see a lot of paths for it. I also don't necessarily think like, oh, we're going to hand the play calling over to somebody else and it's going to fix everything that ails the Bears offense, because there's so many issues here, Dalton. I don't know. Where do we want to start with Chicago?
Yeah, this is all just about Caleb Williams, right? It's really time to seriously start worrying if we weren't already there. I understand they're devastated in the offensive line, for sure a lot of injuries, but he got 4.0 YPA, produced 3 points, and took 9 sacks against a Patriots defense that entered with 16 sacks all year. His CPOE was in the 18th percentile. He'd gotten 4.9 YPA, 0 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks during a period in which he's supposed to show improvement. Like you said, he's been a disaster when not facing a two defense in DVOA. He had 0 passes downfield, I think, completed 10 plus yards. Caleb Williams, the third worst sack taken per pass attempt percentage for any quarterback in any season in the past 15 years. The only two worse are both Justin Fields. The Bears haven't produced a top 20 performance at wide receiver since week six. DJ Moore has only one top 20 fantasy game this year. He had six last year. Yeah, he can't beat man coverage. There was ugly stats I read last week about him throwing deep, Caleb, and now he can't hit the short stuff. I don't know, man. The sacks, the lack of moving the ball on a vulnerable defenses. It's full-blown panic mode. I mean, obviously the Bears are questioning whether they should have taken Daniels or Drake May. I don't know. What do we salvage here? Now you're comparing him even to Bo Nix. I mean, I don't know. I would be concerned. I know it's early and whatnot, but man, you got to be concerned with the Caleb production.
Yeah, you have to be. And it's weird because I think people want you, and some of this I think is just because of who Caleb Williams is and how he carries himself and all that stuff. People want you to like blame Caleb Williams. And it's like, yo, we don't have to blame Caleb Williams. The results are already damning enough, right? Like nobody, I think it's obvious that he's not playing well. Like that's a fact. I think trying to talk through what else is going on here is important because like this is a guy that was throw out like generational and all that stupid stuff in terms of prospects and everything. He was an objectively great quarterback prospect. And he's right now on a path to fail. It's so early. I'm not saying he's a bust, but like if you wanted to make him a bust, this is how the story usually plays out, right? Everything that's gone on in Chicago is exactly how it plays out for quarterbacks that bust. Like that just is what it is. You know, we're already talking about firing the play caller damn 10 games into it or 10 weeks into his rookie season. That's typically how you script a bust of a quarterback pick. So that's the path he's on now. And there's no question that his play is contributing to that. But the reason that everybody else, you know, has talked about all of these other factors here is because there's so many other things going on here that, and I think they've almost like put too much on him, if that makes sense, right? Like I think that the way they design the offense, the way they structure the offense puts a lot on him. I also think that even dating back to like Matt Eberflus on the post-draft press call, like with the phone call with him, seems like he's in awe of this guy. It's a little too much, honestly. And I think that forget what you thought the situation is, you know, like compared to what Jaden Daniels is in or what Drake May is in. This offense sucks. This offense is poorly designed. None of these wide receivers are playing up to their potential. The best guy on film has been Rome Odunze, and he's a rookie, man. Like, that should not be the case. So I don't really know what to do here other than I do think the Bears' passing game probably should belong in the coping corner. I mean, DeAndre Swift probably still a fantasy starter, but at this point, you're not starting Caleb Williams in fantasy, not even close. You can't really consider starting any of the wide receivers at this point. Cole Kmet is like a desperation heave at tight end, and he's going to have like random big games, but I don't know how you're going to predict them. So, yeah, I mean, until we see something different, I feel like what's the point of panicking every week about the Bears? Like, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. The Bears have shown us for three games coming out of the bye what they are.
Yeah, and agreed everything you said there. And we're still going to rank DeAndre Swift as a borderline top 20 back every week. But the problem there is he's been as sensitive to win-loss splits as Derrick Henry. Is any back in the league this year? Mm. Oh, more than 100 yards from scrimmage and wins, like low 60s in losses. Happened this last week as 6.5-point favorites, you know, at home against New England. And with Caleb's struggles, you got to figure maybe there'll be more losses than wins moving forward. So it's a hit to his value too. But he's been awesome. He looks great out there. And he deserves more targets. And he'll be fine. But Caleb's decline is not only hurting the receivers, but it's hurting Swift as well.
Next four games for the Chicago Bears: Packers, Vikings, Lions, 49ers. So again, this is something that could get worse before it gets better. That's ugly. Again, these are all names, but like I want you to kind of throw the names out of the equation here at this point. I think if you have to start a Bears player right now, and that includes DJ Moore, if you have to start a Bears pass catcher, I think your fantasy team's in trouble because you clearly just don't have a better option. So, yeah, I think if you're okay with the Dalton, I think we move this passing game into the coping corner. And if they start to surprise us, maybe we revisit this in a few weeks.
No, I'm okay. It sucks. We wanted Caleb to erupt year one. He could run too, but man, it's just anything but so far.
Let's stick on rookies who have been slumping of late. Brian Doyle writes in, what are we doing with Brian Thomas Jr.? Chalking this all up to injury and waiting a few weeks until he's fully healthy? Running away with Mac Jones under center? Great player in a spot that went from good to bad very quickly. Brian Thomas is obviously still outpacing his wide receiver 40 ADP. He currently ranks as the wide receiver 11 in Yahoo standard scoring, but he's coming off a 5.2 game in week 9 and a 2.2 game in week 10. So, Dalton, when you think about Brian Thomas Jr., what are your thoughts rest of season? Is it time to readjust expectations for this rookie based on the surrounding situation, or is there more at play here?
At least some panic, if not full blown. In two games after his chest injury, 3 targets a game, 17 receiving yards a game. Maybe he's not fully healthy. Mac Jones may be starting the rest of the season here. Thomas Jr. is a beast, a guy I'll be targeting in every draft next year. I think he's like top 3 in yards per route run, or he was before the Mac Jones games. Awesome player, deserves more volume. We thought it would come without Christian Kirk. It hasn't been there. I'm playing the matchups now, but yeah, we're lowering expectations if Mac Jones is his new starter over the rest of the year. And I hope I'm wrong, but it sounds like Lawrence is definitely at risk of surgery.
100%. The Jaguars get the Lions in week 11. Not a friendly matchup. Their outside cornerback play is much better than their slot cornerback play. Typically, teams beat up on the Lions on the interior. They don't necessarily pick on them on the perimeter, so that's kind of tough for Brian Thomas Jr., who's still mostly a perimeter receiver. Then they get a bye in week 12, and then Texans, Titans, Jets. It's not exactly like a friendly stretch here of opposing defensive matchups coming up for, a team that might be starting Mac Jones, a team that another embattled head coach, Doug Peterson, is fighting with the notoriously really brutal Jacksonville media, saying like, if you guys didn't see this, he was asked about a play call, I believe one of the ones that Mac Jones threw an interception on. He was like, well, I'm not even gonna bother to explain it because you guys wouldn't get it. Thank you, Doug Peterson, for not unveiling the great secrets of the Doug Peterson offense, but you know, what can we do here? So the Jags are, they have atrocious vibes, and I will just say, like, yeah, no question. Brian Thomas might be an injury. Might be just, well, obviously he's playing with Mac Jones. That's not good. So I'm with Dalton being at total panic here. And, you know, I think that we do this with rookies sometimes. They have these big games, and I think we get over our skis a little bit. We want to push them to like the top of the range of outcomes, but there's still a range here. And I think with Brian Thomas, he was always going to be a little bit of a volatile player. He was a great draft pick. I was very much in on him in redraft this year. And like from a dynasty perspective, I still believe in the high ceiling, him reaching that at some point, but I think we just overrated him just a little bit at some point at times this year. So I think he's probably still like a wide receiver 3 starter in fantasy this year, Dalton, but you can't be surprised when he gives you some dud performances, because those are definitely coming.
Well, I overrated him last week myself. I used him as one of my conviction picks in that matchup against Minnesota pass funnel. And about 4 minutes before I recorded the video, the Lawrence news broke, and I'm perfect. You know, absolutely perfect. I would not have been that confident with Mac Jones throwing him the ball. But if you want further excuses, I will say that the Jacksonville ran 39 fewer plays than the Vikings this last game, the highest play differential in a game over the last 2 seasons. Can you guess how many at time of possession, how long Jacksonville had the ball? Guess, Armin.
Wasn't it like 14, 19 minutes?
Oh, you went even lower. It's like 17 and a half. That's still pretty low. Pretty low.
I said 14 to 19. That was kind of right in the middle.
14 to 19. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I didn't hear the last part. Yeah, great call. It was that low, and that was a problem with the volume. But it could remain a problem with Mac Jones being quarterback. You know, the lack of play volume could be a theme with him starting.
Yeah, I know we said that no panic for Brian Thomas last week, but we didn't know that Trevor Lawrence might miss the rest of the regulars, like the rest of the season. What are we talking about here? Like we're back to Mac Jones. Like I do not think, and that's the thing with Brian Thomas, is that he was running hot on touchdowns and he was running hot on big plays. Some yak opportunities for sure, but you get yak opportunities based on how teams defend you. You think that teams are not going to just try to put a lid on the Jaguars at this point. You're going to let Brian Thomas run free down the field. You think Mac Jones is going to consistently be able to get the football off behind a bad offensive line? I just think the situation here has really gone to rot, and that is pretty problematic.
And Lawrence had like 8 more end zone targets than the number 2 quarterback. So yes, he's been a disappointment, not the prince we were promised, but a definite upgrade over Mac Jones.
I would say so. Okay, let's move on to the next one here. Tyler G. Hey, Matt and Dalton, really enjoying the People's Panic Meter show concept. It's fun and actionable, solid work. appreciate the hell out of you, Tyler. How should I be feeling about Jordan Love as my quarterback one for the stretch run? I traded Mahomes, DeAndre Hopkins, and Tony Pollard for Jordan Love and Jonathan Taylor before week 8 and was initially excited about swapping Mahomes' low ceiling for more spike weeks from Love. Then Love got hurt in week 8, had a dud against the Lions in week 9, and has a tough remaining schedule. Did I trade for a set it and forget it quarterback, or should I make plans to stream the position? Thanks, guys. Tyler. Obviously, Jordan Love is QB 20 this year because he's dealt with injuries. He's been in and out of the lineup. But I don't know, Dalton. I will say I came into this year pretty excited about Jordan Love. I've been frustrated with the injuries, but the high highs do, I think, are still present in his range of outcomes. So where are you at with the Jordan Love at this point?
I'd rather Jordan Love than Patrick Mahomes fantasy-wise down the stretch. Mahomes is like a full half yard lowest in the league in average depth of target. He was even lower this week. Jordan Love should be healthier after the bye. You say tougher schedule. It is tougher the next 3 weeks, but the fantasy playoffs, 14 through 17, at Detroit, at Seattle, at home against New Orleans, at Minnesota, that looks highly favorable. And, you know, those the weapons, healthy wide receivers all together. Yeah, it's a headache for us fantasy managers, but I think Love, you know, again, the key here is can he get healthy, and hopefully the bye helped. And I think that upside remains. I mean, maybe he's a little more boom bust than some other quarterbacks, but I think you're going to be just perfectly happy with Love, especially if you can make it to that final month of the year.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who's still 18.5 points per game, which is QB 10 on the season. Yeah. If you combine Russell Wilson and Justin Fields into one player, he's like more around QB 9 because those guys are both in top 10 in points per game. So I think that, like, that's pretty much what you drafted. Like, I know this individual person did not draft Jordan Love. They traded for him, but that's kind of what Jordan Love is expected to be, somewhere as like a back half quarterback one who probably is going to be a little bit volatile. But I also think necessarily pointing out that he has some tougher matchups coming up. Like, this is a guy that can beat tough matchups because he's a great quarterback. He has great players around him and the system rules. So him going against the Niners, you know, in week 12.
Could be a shootout.
Yeah, it could be a total shootout. I think even this next
Dolphins,
game against
Lions, Seahawks, Saints, Vikings. Yeah, man, those are all could be shootouts. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, yeah, I'm with you. I think actually this schedule is something I'd look for in a fantasy quarterback. Like, yeah, if this was a bad quarterback going against the Niners, I think I'd feel, oh, like, not Baker Mayfield bad, but surrounded by players like Baker Mayfield is at this point. Yeah, that's not maybe not good for a fantasy quarterback, but Jordan Love is not set up that way. And I'm really hoping, like, again, if he goes out in week 11, has a bad game against the Bears, we can probably, Tyler, send an email after that. We can talk about Jordan Love because I'm expecting him to come out of this bye and just be much healthier than he was going into it, which I think has been the biggest problem for him this season.
Yeah, that's key with him. It's health. The Bears aren't the easiest matchup, even if he just puts up a mediocre performance. Hold on to him for those awesome ones afterward.
Yeah, so I think we're at no panic on Jordan Love. I'm at least on no panic here.
I'm with you. Yeah, no panic. And by the way, the Bears may be a horrible matchup because they're solid corners and zero pushback on offense. Like, is Caleb going to put up a touchdown against the Packers? Like, that's actually not an ideal matchup for Love maybe, but definitely afterward. I like the volume will be there afterward.
Yeah, the Bears' run defense has been a little spotty
shaky
as well.
Too,
so,
yeah.
Jordan, the Josh Jacobs eruption game coming in week 11. Yeah. All right. Final email to break down. Jose R. sends in an email titled, "Welcome to Dumpsville. Guys, let's keep it short and sweet. Is it time to cut ties with Diontae Johnson at this point, or is there any hope? Would you rather roster the one injury away superstars?" He names guys like Braylon Allen, Ray Davis, etc. over him. Panthers certainly did not do us any favors with this trade. Yeah, Dalton, I mean, what do you think about this?
Yeah, my suggestion is go with Allen, go with Ray Davis, go with Trey Benson, whom I'll recommend later, over Diontae Johnson at this point. His role will grow undoubtedly, but Johnson played 5 snaps this week, Harmon, behind Bateman. He was behind Tylan Wallace. Where Wallace at? He had a long touchdown. It's bad. Diontae Johnson goes from top 5 in target share to 5th on a Baltimore team that spreads it around like crazy. So yeah, I mean, you know, he's a great route runner and he may have a spike week in your best ball team to help you out down the stretch, but I'm absolutely stashing these high upside backs over Diontae Johnson at this point.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you that let's just put Diontae Johnson in the coping corner because, like, if you drafted him, you're coping at this point because it sucks that, like, this guy was getting all this volume and having these big weeks with Andy Dalton, and that's just, like, beyond over at this point. Yeah, I don't care who the guy is. You cannot have a guy that's playing 5 snaps on your fantasy bench at this point because what do you like? Also, what's the path? What's the path for him to like? He's not supplanting Rashad Bateman. Bateman's right. played well in his role. He's not supplanting Zay Flowers, who I think is having a breakout season. So, and even yeah, guys like Nelson Agholor and Tylan Wallace are doing the job. Like, I think at some point in the playoffs, like when they need to beat man coverage, they'll maybe have some plays in for Deontay Johnson. But this also could just go down as what I've been talking about it lately as, which is a huge tactical error by Deontay Johnson to kind of cause a stink in Carolina and talk his way out. I mean, if he gets a ring out of it, that's great. But I don't think he's going to be going into free agency. This is the last year of his contract. I don't think he's going to be going into free agency with much momentum right now. So could end up being like he has to take another prove it deal or something like that. Pretty tough look for Deontay at this point. So yeah, absolutely. Deontay in the coping corner. And do you have a pick between like Braylon Allen, Ray Davis? You threw Trey Benson out there. I think Ray Davis is my favorite of the bunch, but how would you kind of sort these guys out? And like, are there any other kind of high-end stash superstars that you would want to roster at this point?
I will definitely give the argument for Benson later, but I'm with you on Ray Davis. He just looks so good, and you're on the Bills' offense. I mean, Braylon Allen. I mean, the Jets. I mean, whatever. So yeah, it's for me, it's Ray Davis. But I will give an argument for Trey Benson just because I think Connor's more likely to suffer. Connor's missed multiple games every season of his career.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a fair point. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about Trey Benson with you a little bit later and hear what you have to say. Yeah, for now, Deontay Johnson got to be hoping that he has some kind of crazy run in the postseason. But for now, from a fantasy perspective, I think his value is pretty much zero, and I don't really see how that's going to change. With that, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll run through our social submissions to this week's People's Panic Meter right after this. All right, we are back. We have to run through some social media submissions here to the People's Panic Meter, starting with Football Coimix. I don't know what that means. But anyways, the Colts, sticking with Joe Flacco after the last two games, tells me either the owner is meddling or we have two men in our organization who are about to be fired. I'm sure they are speaking about Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard, and I feel you that something stinks with this whole situation at this point. Dalton, I know Anthony Richardson is in the coping corner. And I mean, we can't put all these Colts pass catchers in the coping corner because some of these guys are productive from a fantasy perspective. And Jonathan Taylor actually had his best game with Joe Flacco last week. But yeah, I mean, I just think that any thoughts you want to get off on the Colts here, who certainly from a franchise perspective might be near total panic.
And Downs did drop a touchdown, easy touchdown in Flacco's defense. But dude, making his first home start this season. Flacco threw a pick six on the first pass of the game, another interception during Indy's second drive. He took a sack on fourth down. He lost a fumble, threw another near pick six. He's lucky he didn't have five interceptions. His total EPA was in the ninth percentile, but his completion percentage was probably better than Anthony Richardson's. He ran hot on third downs in that one game against Jacksonville. I read all the stats to you last week about success rate on early downs, and Richardson was winning. And it was nice to see Jonathan Taylor finally have a bigger game. But he had all of his yardage like midway to the second quarter. He had 115 yards and then nothing the final two and a half quarters. It's flat. I don't know why Richardson's not starting. It wouldn't be a great matchup for either team in New York this week, but the Jets actually have had one of the worst defenses in the league since Sala was fired. But whatever, what are you going to say? Richardson, something must be going on behind the scenes there because Flacco isn't giving the Colts any better chance of winning, you know, and Richardson's, you know, 20 years younger.
Yeah, maybe we will see Anthony Richardson in like week 12. The Colts have already said that against the Jets in week 11, Joe Flacco will be the starter. So it's a revenge game for Joe Flacco. Sick. That's wonderful. After the Jets didn't call him back and he went on that run with the Cleveland Browns. But yeah, I mean, I've already ranted about this subject so much. I don't really know what else there is to say, but maybe we'll see Richardson at some point, maybe after the week 14 bye. I just think at some point we'll get him back out there. But for now, I think Josh Downs is an every week fantasy starter, and I'm at least interested to track Adonai Mitchell's role and development the rest of the way.
Super interesting. Yeah, I know Pierce is still involved there too, but yeah, Mitchell, I know, very interesting guy, and hopefully he keeps that role. And Pittman needs to go on IR, get that back healthy. The reporters are saying he can't even bend over, so he needs to get on IR and let AD Mitchell see what he can, if he can cook. Harmon, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, who has a better NFL career, Caleb Williams or Anthony Richardson?
I'm gonna go with Caleb Williams.
You're gonna go with Caleb Williams. Okay, all right. No brainer, it seems like you think. All right, okay. We'll circle back on that one.
I don't know if it's a no brainer, but number one, better prospect coming in. I think from a tools perspective, yeah, Richardson probably gets the cake there, but he had less development to go through. And I also think from a situation standpoint, yeah, maybe the Colts situation got a little overrated at some point, but just when I'm watching the environments this year, Williams is in a dramatically worse environment. I also think to his benefit too, I do think there's a chance that, and it's tough because I actually really like Shane Steichen as a play caller, and maybe he's not a head coach. I don't know the whole thing there, but fans have started to give him crap from like a coaching perspective. I do think he's a really good play caller, but I think there's a chance that if this wasn't a Jim Irsay mandate and everything kind of falls apart here, I think there's a chance the Colts are Ballard's out, Steichen's out, and then like I think whoever the Bears hire next will be excited to work with Caleb Williams. So he will be the starter next year. I think there's a chance that we could already be talking about the Anthony Richardson era is completely done in Indianapolis because the next coach might not want to work with him.
The Steichen stuff's so weird because he was so successful with Hurts. I feel like he wanted him. And ball knowers that watch the film more than me just claimed that he wasn't even running a great offense for Richardson a lot of the times. Like it was like Flacco offense. Yeah. I'm at a loss. It's bizarre. But I mainly just wanted to ask you that question to get your reaction, and you delivered. So thanks.
Do you think it's different?
It's probably crazy to say that, but it may be closer than people think right now. I'm not giving up on Richardson. Let's just say that I'm not burying Caleb. I'm just not. It's more I'm not giving up on my guy who is still the youngest starter in the league.
If I'm the Colts, I'm not giving up on him. Let's throw him out there and see what he can do. All right,
Trey Lance. Producer Colin was asking about Trey Lance. Oh, we better move on.
Yeah, we better move the F on. The 49ers moved on. We better move on. All right. This next one comes in from at Barnaby Jones. Love it. Malik Nabers. Daniel Jones clearly is not capable of getting it done, and I'm not sure Drew Lock is a better option. I think it's time we accept that he's more like wide receiver 25 to 30 range than he is wide receiver 5 overall. On that note, Malik Nabers was drafted as the wide receiver 23. His current ranking is wide receiver 13. I'm not quite sure I'm at wide receiver 25 to 30, but I definitely think Dalton, it's past time to adjust expectations to, you know, him as a top five rest of season wide receiver. You know, this is definitely, I don't think Nabers is a coping corner candidate, but yeah, this situation just kind of is what it is right now. Do you have any optimism that Drew Lock is going to be a better option? Cause the Giants gave the classic "we're evaluating everything" answer when talking about the quarterback position, which usually means they're about to make a quarterback change.
Yeah, some panic. It just depends on, like you said, where you're going to rank him. But people demanded I removed Nabers from our CCL, our can't cut list on Yahoo, which I obliged. I get it, man. I mean,
what are they going to? Sorry to interrupt you, but like, do people want to cut Malik Nabers? I mean, or do they just want the? You know what? Listen, charged political atmosphere this day. So I don't want to talk about free will and people's freedoms and all that stuff. Do people just want the freedom to cut him? They're not actually going to do it. They just want the permission from the governing bodies, which in this case is Dalton Del Don. Do they just want President Del Don to sign a constitutional amendment that we can drop Malik Nabers? Because what the hell's the difference?
No, I run a democracy. I listen to what the people ask. But yeah, I know Nabers. I was like, I don't think he really should be removed. But if people are asking, then so be. Yes, I mean, he's still top five target share moving forward still. But yes, Daniel Jones is a problem. That was a great matchup against the Panthers for many reasons, highlighted by their lack of pressure. His target rate is very sensitive to pressure this year. So if for no other reason you thought he'd have a nice matchup there, but Daniel Jones has taken sacks on flea flickers with two multiple wide open receivers downfield. So there's some panic with Malik Nabers. But man, is he going to be a fun player when he gets a quarterback.
I'm just now I'm obsessed with the can't cut list. For the people out there, I'm gonna read off all the names that are on the can't cut list. Devon Achan, Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, AJ Brown, Jamar Chase, Nico Collins. Shout out to Nico Collins making it on the can't cut list. What a world we live in. Jaden Daniels. Oh, that is so a Dalton Del Don thing. Jahmyr Gibbs, Breece Hall, Derrick Henry, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Josh Jacobs, Justin Jefferson, Alvin Kamara, Drake London, Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jonathan Taylor.
No Richardson. I'm just pretty fair. No Anthony Richardson on there?
I think you should be allowed, since this is part of your job, I think you should be allowed, this is my pitch to our boss, you should be allowed, and I know that Jason does not get to decide this, but Dalton should have the authority to have one like vanity can't cut candidate. And I think it should be somebody that just you get to pick, and people should know that going in. So like, all right, if they you draft Anthony Richardson prior
you're
to the season,
extra screwed because you have to hold on to him all year. Yeah.
Yeah, you're extra banged. Like 2 years ago, people draft Trey Lance. Sorry, you're banged. Like you have to do this.
I've caused enough Anthony Richardson harm to fantasy managers this year. We don't need any further Harmon. But you like that's a solid group, right? The can't cut list. Yeah, no arguments there.
I mean, I think the can't cut list should be like should be way bigger than this. There's a lot of players you're probably never going to cut in fantasy football. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't want to prolong this podcast now.
Then you get people
discussion.
Emailing in though. That's why you got to keep it a little lower. Then you get people complaining about guys like Malik Nabers, who's top three in target rate.
That's what I'm saying. Like again, do people just want the freedom? Like I can't have the government, Dalton Dodon, the governing bodies, telling me what to do with my fantasy team, which you know what? I'm gonna leave it at that. I get it. Okay. So what the hell are we talking about here? Yeah,
up to you. Dealer's choice, because either way. Yeah. It just depends on your expectation. You know what I mean? Your expectations.
Yeah, let's just go with some panic. I mean, maybe it is total panic. We're at that point, but I'm gonna go with some panic just because you're still starting Malik Nabers every week. He's escaped with like some pretty decent PPR scam games, and like that's not too bad.
His expert consensus rank among 240 rankers in the industry last week was the wide receiver 3. I mean, okay, I understand it was the matchup, but I mean, still, I mean, he was the wide receiver 3 by all the rankers last week. So yeah, I mean, he's still going to be valuable.
Yeah, to Barnaby Jones's point, I do think it's time to stop doing that. Much like 2 weeks ago, it was time to stop ranking DJ Moore as an every week wide receiver too. You know, I think that industry can be a little slow to catch up on this stuff at times. And I think somewhere like wide receiver 13, where he currently is scoring, as opposed to wide receiver 25, a little too low, but definitely not wide receiver 5 type stuff anymore. All right. Speaking of the can't cut list, we got to talk about a guy apparently here for the second week in a row who's on the can't cut list. Shout out to the person who sent in Justin Jefferson last week, actually responded to me Twitter.
Oh, he did? Nice. We mocked him and then he puts up a dud against Jacksonville. Look at him.
I know. Yeah. So real ball knower. Sorry, I don't have the Twitter handle off the top of my head, but shout out to you. Because he said, man, I listened to the podcast and I got flamed for sending in Justin Jefferson as a joke. They made sure to specify that it was Justin Jest, just kind of complaining. Well, now here, yeah, he puts up an absolutely, Cozy Trav. Cozy Trav was the one who sent this in, at Cozy Trav. So shout out to you, Trav. Cozy Trav, what a hero. Sends in Justin Jefferson a week early, because now at Dr. Dynasty MD1, we're dealing with a medical professional here who wants to send in Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson. Looks like he's reverting back to his old habits, speaking of Sam Darnold. Panic on Jefferson's potential ceiling going forward and the emergence of Hockenson safety valve rest of season, Aaron Jones injury, all being a limiting factor here. Jefferson is still the wide receiver 2. Overall, Dalton, he is on that can't cut list. How about now? Are we panicking at all about Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, Sam Darnold, 11-3 touchdown interception ratio in September, 6-7 over 5 games since. Is he turning into a pumpkin? He banged his hand up trying to make a tackle on one of his many interceptions this last week. The last 3 matchups at LA Rams, at home against the Colts, and at Jacksonville. So, uh-oh here. Darnold was picked off 3 times this week, each one targeting Jefferson in the end zone, all 3. Darnold, he could have had a 4th or 5th interception. One was nullified by a penalty and other multiple drops. Jacksonville entered with this 2 picks all year. Darnold just refused to check down to Aaron Jones. That's where Jacksonville's been susceptible. He was open all game. They entered allowing the 2nd most fantasy points to quarterbacks. So, yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold is regressing, and that's not ideal when you took such an early pick on Jefferson. He hasn't had that major explosion week, and we were kind of like, it's okay. He's been really, very solid otherwise. But now, with Darnold and no backup, it's not great.
No, it's not great. And I mean, is your boy Nick Mullins, like, is he still the...
Not bad. Yeah, I was just thinking, the rookie being McCarthy being out. But yeah, okay, Mullins could get it done. Yeah, okay, fair point. I stand corrected.
Oh my God. But listen, I tell you, I watched the film of the Mullins games with Jefferson last year. It wasn't good football, but it was something.
It was fantasy production.
Yeah. He was just a guy just ripping it to one dude. And I do think that that is potentially on the table here if Nick Mullins gets under center. The problem is that the Vikings are still pretty good. They're still like a playoff contender. You know, just at some point they're going to have too many wins to consider benching their starting quarterback. But I do think Darnold is becoming the quarterback that I was kind of concerned we'd get to at some point with the Vikings, where it's just like, oh my God, like we're just starting Sam Darnold all season long. Like this is really what we're doing because McCarthy's not here. But he's going to, like, these games were always happening. He was like having a turnover and trying to turn the ball over more than once per game to start the year. Now he's just kind of paying for some of those mistakes. So I think I'll allow maybe I'm still probably a no panic on Jefferson, because again, what are you going to do about it? But for Darnold specifically, I am definitely there's if you were starting Sam Darnold in super flex leagues and stuff like that, which people were, I know I started him in a few super flex spots throughout the course of the year. I'm definitely panicking. I'm kind of towards maybe some panic on that.
I mean, it seems obvious in hindsight. Over that first month, his TD rate was like 11.8%, easily the highest in the league. But we knew that that would regress. But it's gotten ugly in the turnover department. And then just this last week, you know, against Jacksonville, unable to produce a touchdown was just really disappointing and makes you, you know, raise your eyebrow. So I would be fine with some panic if you wanted.
All right, let's move on to at DHG06 sends in Devontae Smith. Guy is a big play or bust type of player now. Three targets this last week is insane. Devontae Smith, ADP wide receiver 22, current ranking wide receiver 20. I don't know, Dalton, I think this is another one that just comes down to some expectations here, which I said we might need to adjust probably about like a month ago.
No panic for me. Hurts attempted only 20 passes this last week thanks to the turnovers, lopsided score. The starters were pulled in the fourth quarter of this game. I mean, there was just no volume, so don't panic after a weird game where there was zero pushback. Non sequitur, but it's at least on the Eagles. Lord Reeves had a crazy tweet. Saquon Barkley has been tackled at the 1 or 2 yard line 10 different times this season, the most in the league. He has touched the ball 3 times after those plays for just one touchdown. So, man, he's just fallen victim to those tush pushes. And even I think Gainwell got a couple carries this last week. So Barkley's awesome year could and should be even better.
Weren't there tweets about that, like with DeAndre Swift last year?
Yeah, you know, 100%. He led the NFL and being tackled at the 1. You're right. What's that? It's not just that the quarterback pushes them all in. He also gets the running backs that fall down before the most. Yeah, it's bizarre coincidences there.
We talk about, you know, the Chiefs and their deal with the devil of how did they, you know, with that blocked field goal, and they just keep winning games in some way. Maybe we need to take a look at Jalen Hurts. Now, what deal with the devil does Jalen Hurts have that, like, seriously, every running back that comes into Philadelphia just becomes weirdly allergic to the end zone here, and he gets to just pile up these rushing touchdowns? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we've had this conversation before where, oh, Jalen Hurts only attempts so many pass attempts. There are going to be games like that, and that's just, you just have to live with that volatility with Devontae Smith, because if you bench him, yeah, I mean, he could have that massive game at any point. So I'm at no panic as well. This is, again, just, he was drafted right around this range. This is the range he's producing. Got to live with a little bit of that volatility here. All right, next one is from at Dr. No No, and it's No KN. All right, so let's just get that straight. Jared Goff and Sam Darnold. We already talked Sam Darnold, but 8 picks combined. 8. Fortunately for me, I kept Sam on the bench. Thankfully, I have Brock Purdy. Any sort of worry here about Jared Goff, any panic on Goff in particular after what was a bizarre game from the Lions quarterback?
Just more so in general volume. It averaged like 21 passes the last 6 games before the weird one Sunday night. I mean, yeah, 5 interceptions and 8 completions midway through the third quarter when entering with the highest completion percentage in NFL history. Yeah, he's just going to get more of the same with him, which are touchdown production, no running, and a worry with volume.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that that's kind of how I see it too. Like, I mean, Jared Goff is a fine QB2 in Superflex. He's not necessarily going to be a guy that wins your week for you at any point. Next one in from at Mr. Bill 3939. Devontae Adams. It's clear that Aaron Rodgers is showing his age, and Adams seems interested. I don't know if maybe they meant to say uninterested or whatever, but any panic on Devontae Adams?
He led the NFL in target share this last week, 39.4%. Here's his target share in each game since joining the Jets, 15.4%, 21.4%, 34.4%, and then 39.4%. He's topped 10 fantasy points just once, but he's out-targeted Garrett Wilson in consecutive games. Aaron Rodgers, though, on the other side, completed just 2 passes that traveled more than 7 yards downfield. So the role's great, even with Garrett Wilson. The quarterback, not so much at this stage of his career. So he's going to be ranked as a top 20 wideout, though, given that, you know, that volume projection.
Yeah, also matchup against the Colts this week, week 11. I feel like that is the type of defense that Aaron Rodgers and this offense can kind of carve up. I just think there are going to be weeks where this offense looks great. There's going to be halves where this offense looks great, like it did in week 9. There's going to be times where it looks absolutely miserable for a variety of different reasons, most of which don't even have to do with who Rodgers is at this point. Rodgers is, I think, fine, but he's just not who he used to be. And like, let's just all get our heads around that. With Adams, though, I think he's still a really good player, but it is interesting that the whole idea here was we're just going to drop in Davante Adams because these guys have played together before and they're going to have chemistry and timing and all that stuff. Since, and I'm not, I don't have this stat off the top of my head, but I looked it up today earlier. Adams, I think, has like a 33% success rate when targeted, or Rodgers has a 33% success rate when targeting Davante Adams. And it's like 50% or above for every other player on the Jets in that span. Like, his targets to Davante Adams have been terrible. And it is worth remembering, these guys haven't played together since like 2021. It has been a little bit of time here. And these guys are both, I mean, I think Adams is still a good player, but they're both worse versions of themselves than what we saw previously.
And I didn't look at this last week's yet, but they moved him to the slot almost full time, right? I mean, he was okay. So what do you think about that at this stage of his career?
Yeah, I mean, typically when receivers get older, you probably try to, you want to try to put him there. But that is weird because I thought that it might, him being there might allow Garrett Wilson to move around and get matchups more, but they have tried to do it more so with Adams, which frankly, because at this point, I think Adams needs a little bit more catering than Wilson, who can win from any position.
Right. Yeah. No, it sucks with the Jets. I mean, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams, not going as we had hoped. The Jets are averaging whatever it is, the same points per game, and I think 1 yard more passing or something than they did with Zach Wilson. I mean, we knew this was within a range of outcomes, but man, a healthy Aaron Rodgers, this was not great. And man, again, their defense has been, it was around the worst EPA per play 2 weeks ago. And after this last week, maybe it's the worst in the league since they fired Robert Saleh. So, I mean, it's bad on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. I'm at some panic on Adams just cause I think there's a chance like, Rodgers could just shut it down at some point. I mean, he's 40 years old. This team's going nowhere.
Big chance, right? I mean, yeah. I agree.
He's also got like 100 injuries too, so it wouldn't be surprised to just say, okay, yeah, that'll be enough for me. All right, last one here comes in from @swagwars_16. They just said Xavier Worthy. Typically, we ask for a why on this. I don't really think it needs to be said. ADP, wide receiver 42, current ranking wide receiver 49 for Xavier Worthy. Honestly, that feels high. I think Worthy is an easy addition to the coping corner.
100% dropped his first target Sunday. Mahomes has the lowest ADOT by a mile. I guess Worthy, I don't think his shoulder injury was serious, but he injured it on a throw that could have been another 50-yard touchdown. Seems to be losing coach's confidence. Hopkins is there. Harmon, you were right about this, man. I drafted him in some big money leagues. I read some stuff that he was successful in press in college, and you're right. You warned me, and man, this is not a player capable of running an NFL route tree right now.
Not yet. Hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully he gains 20 pounds. I'm not sure, but we'll see. You know, it's just if you can't it, like you'd think that the type of week where he'd get it done would be against the Broncos when Pat Surtain and DeAndre Hopkins are going to work on the other side, and it just still didn't happen. So, and look, Mahomes, maybe this is, we do this every week. Like maybe Mahomes could have placed that deep pass a little further inside on that route, you know, or that he didn't catch it. But this is the thing, like you're counting on basically one play to hit every week for Xavier Worthy, and that's been apparent for quite some time now. So yeah, he is definitely an easy addition to the coping corner. With that, let's run through the coping corner before we toss to break. Patrick Mahomes and Xavier Worthy are in the coping corner together, so at least they have some company there with the Kansas City Chiefs. Best team in the league. We got two people in the coping corner. What a terrific thing. Sam Laporta, Javonte Williams, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Jalen Waddle, the entire Cowboys offense, the entire Chicago Bears passing game joined Keenan Allen in the coping corner. Deontay Johnson, that's it. That's our coping corner here. So Dalton, I feel pretty good about all of these names. We'll see. Maybe something changes, and like just like we did with Calvin Ridley, we can revisit this. But for now, I think this is a pretty good coping corner here.
Yep, feel good about it too. You know, if Tyreek Hill misses Monday night game and Waddle goes off, that won't age well. But we don't know what's going to happen
Absolutely.
There. Yeah, too bad Laporta, as soon as he shows signs of life, gets injured too.
Yeah, brutal. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll run through our waiver wire segment for week 11 right after this. All right, we're back. Let's take a look at this week's waiver wire connections presented by Spectrum. Every week, Dalton and I share a large, medium, and small priority player on the waiver wire. Here in week 11, I think we got a better week of waiver additions than we did last week going into week 10. So, Dalton, start us out with your small priority player this week.
I'll go with Drake May. He's coming off a couple of tough matchups and then an injury before that, but I'm saying May's going to be a QB1 in future weeks. The rookie entered last week second in scramble rate, first in yards per rush among quarterbacks, and New England's schedule eases up moving forward. May looks like the real deal to me, and he runs, Harmon. Upcoming matchups will have better game scripts and easier opponents, and he's available in more than 85% of Yahoo leagues.
Yeah, I love this one. Again, if you've been struggling at quarterback, you know, anything, you're still riding CJ Stroud or something like that, I would, Drake May is a guy I'd be starting. He's making the best of, it's not perfect. He has some bad plays. There's no question about that, but he's making the best of that situation there. You know, even Jalen Polk got involved after being, you know, summarily put in the doghouse. He didn't run a full set of routes, but at least he got into the end zone there. My small priority player is Adonai Mitchell, 6% rostered. Look, I think 2025 is probably going to be the year for Mitchell because he is still a mistake-prone rookie. He makes errors, things like that, but man, he flashes so much as a player. And I do think, you know, you mentioned it earlier, Pittman's probably a candidate to go on IR. I think he probably should have gone on IR originally, just so we could get Mitchell some reps here. But he did play a full-time role basically last week, got 6 targets, 6 catches, over 70 yards. You know, we're not super confident in this Colts offensive ecosystem overall, but there, when I looked through kind of my potential ads, there are a lot of guys. You know, Elijah Moore was a potential kind of wide receiver 3 ad, Jalen Coker, but they're going on a bye week. There's like a bevy of these type of, you know, maybe wide receiver 3-ish type players, but Mitchell stood out to me as a guy with a little bit more upside.
Absolutely could make noise this year, but Dynasty Leagues, the two guys I want stashed, and then you could get them in some right now for not too super expensive, is Mitchell and Jatavion Sanders, the tight end in Carolina. I really think those guys are going to really erupt maybe as sophomores. My medium priority, Trey Benson. He set season highs in touches and total yards last week. Game script definitely played a part. Connor sat for the entire fourth quarter for the second straight game, and he's obviously Arizona's clear lead back heading into its bye. But Benson has looked good over the last 2 weeks, and he's the clear backup to Connor now. Connor's 29 years old and has missed multiple games during all 7 years in the league. Arizona is playing a lot better on both sides of the ball, and its fantasy playoff schedule looks highly favorable. Patriots, Panthers, Rams. Benson is purely a stash, but he's one who could be a league winner.
Look, I was really high on Trey Benson when he was drafted by the Cardinals. I think he definitely is a little bit, you know, of a slow burn type of player, and this Cardinals coaching staff tends to take it easy on rookies anyways. Yeah, Trey Benson in the first 3 quarters, 10 snaps, 6 carries, 4 routes, according to Fantasy Points data. So definitely most of his damage came later on in the game. But, you know, that's okay. I think just the fact that they're trusting him to get, like, he wasn't even getting on the field for a while there. So if anything ever happened to James Conner, I think Trey Benson looks like a guy who could add a little bit more of an explosive element in this rushing attack there in Arizona, which is really well designed. A guy who's not going to offer you anything explosive-wise, but, you know, somebody we've had in our fantasy lives previously with a different team this year is Cam Akers at 14% rostered. Aaron Jones is, you know, he's someone that deals with injuries, man. He was carted off. I think they only probably carted him just to get him quickly into the locker room. Not a big deal. He eventually returned to the game last week. But this is the deal with Aaron Jones. Like, he could have a multi-week absence at any point. I hope he doesn't. Love Aaron Jones, rooting for him this year. But it's just the reality of who he is. And I think Akers at this point has supplanted Ty Chandler as the second running back in Minnesota. So if anything ever happens to Aaron Jones, we're probably, like, if we hate started Cam Akers on the Texans and that rushing ecosystem, we definitely would be hate starting Cam Akers at some point if Aaron Jones ever missed time. So he should probably be on benches if you're through your bye week gauntlet. and not on fantasy waiver wires.
Agreed with you there. It looks like he has surpassed Chandler. And as you mentioned, Jones got banged up this last week with his chest area. My large priority, Audric Estime on the Broncos. Sean Payton followed through with his latest promise to get the rookie the ball more last week for sure. Estime out-snapped, out-touched, and out-gained all other Denver backs at a 70% snap share after halftime. Javonte Williams saw just one carry. The fantasy production wasn't there, but Kansas City is the league's toughest defense against running backs. Estime scored 18 touchdowns his final year in college, and Payton said he'll continue to get more reps. Payton's backs just get a ton of targets routinely, so Estime needs to be added in all fantasy leagues, and he's out there in more than 95% of them in Yahoo.
Yeah, I great call. He needs to be on rosters, obviously, if he's going to be a starting back for any team, much less a pretty damn good team, the Denver Broncos. He needs to not be on waiver wires in that many leagues. My guy, my large priority player is not as widely available, but absolutely should be, I think, closer to 100% rostered, is Ricky Pearsall, who's only rostered in just about 39% of Yahoo leagues. He's rostered in 39% of Yahoo leagues. So over 60% of leagues he's available, and he definitely qualifies for this segment. Pearsall rocks, man. He is a good football player. Your Niners got another good one there, Dalton Del Don. Ricky Pearsall can ball. I said on the Sunday recap show that I think I would rather have Juwan Jennings rest the season over Ricky Pearsall, but Pearsall is still someone that can be a wide receiver three for you. He looks great as a route runner. He's separating. You see some of the explosive ability as well. I'm very confident in Pearsall the rest of the way. So probably, again, would rather have Juwan Jennings, but Jennings was more widely added just because he's had bigger games, of course, earlier this year. But Pearsall, three games into his rookie season, feel pretty good about him succeeding in that 49ers offense and adding a different dimension to it as well. And the matchups here coming up are pretty good for the 49ers as well. So Dalton, your guy Ricky Pearsall is somebody that I think people should add. Again, to just note those matchups, Seahawks, Packers, Bills. So Seahawks this week, he could definitely get another big game just like he had against the Bucks.
Music to my ears, Harmon. I filled out the doc before you, and I let you have Slick Rick. I'm like, I want to hear Harmon talk about Slick Rick. I don't need to talk about it. It would be a homer. So there you go. Agree. Pick up Pearsall if he's available. And without Ayuk, that really, there were a lot of targets there to be had. And Juwan Jennings could be a thing too, for sure.
Absolutely. All right. This has been the Waiver Wire Connections on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, presented by Spectrum. And that is going to do it for this episode. Dalton, appreciate you, buddy. I feel like we covered some good ground here. We talked through the can't cut list. We'll come back to the can't cut list and some of your governing policies. But for now, I think we did a good one here.
I appreciate you as always, Harmon. Good stuff.
All right, for us, we will be back on Wednesday. As always, Sal Vetri will join me for the post Week 10 data dump. We tell you all the stats that you need to know heading into Week 11. Until then, we are out.